good to be here this morning, isn't it? It's good crowd this morning. Glad to have several visitors among us, and good to have some traveling members back with us as well. We are in the last stages, I suppose, of the summer months and summer vacations. We have several that have been out and about, and a few of them been battling with sicknesses and things as well, but mostly just out and about and traveling. And so it's good to see some of you back. And of course, with me saying that, we now have others that are traveling, so we'll pray for them. Hopefully Richard and Debbie Roberts are safe in their travels and that they'll be back with us soon as well. But we're delighted to have you here and to think about God's desire for his people today together. And this is what we do, is we come together week by week. Of course, anyone would understand there are times where we are engaged in other things as far as travel and things of that nature. We also know that at times we don't feel good and we get sick and we're not able to be here. But it is our desire as believers in Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ, to be together with his people. It is our desire within us to have that habit of coming together, of meeting and of worshiping together, partaking of communion together, and remembering all that the Lord has done for us. There's a lot of things we do in the world that are important, but there is nothing more important than what we have done or are in the middle of doing at this very moment. Your week is beginning right. This is the first day of the week, and I want you to know you're beginning your week exactly how the Lord wants you to. And that is good, and it'll be good for you and helpful for you in your life. Plus, there is that reward that comes to those who are faithful that we also are so thankful for that God has promised. When we think of things in this life, the challenges of faith, though, go outside of just what happens here on a Sunday or even on a Wednesday or whenever we might meet together at this building or meet together with a large group of who you see around you at this moment. I talked about this a little on Wednesday night, the challenge of being a Christian and expressing myself in Christian ways. The challenge of that greatly increases the farther I get away from you all. I'm not really going to say it the further I get away from this building. I don't want to put too much value upon a building, a brick and mortar. What I'm saying is, thankful for it, yes, a place to meet. But I'm talking about the further I get away from you all, the more it is difficult for me to handle the stresses and the pressures of the world. Now, we all know that God is with us and that God is good and he is with his people and that we should pray to him. In fact, my last couple of articles, two or three articles in the last few weeks have been about prayer and the importance of being constant in it, to pray about the big things, to pray about the little things. But I'm just being honest before you, and that's the way I am as a preacher. You know, I sometimes throw myself under the bus, but it is because I feel it is important for me to be honest with the congregation, that the challenges are difficult out there. I gave the example of as you pull out onto Memorial, and I know the street here on Memorial is never busy, right? We all chuckle, right? And so, is it ever not busy? That's the real question. And you pull out, and sometimes it is as though the whole world is full of craziness on Memorial, right? And I'm right included among the crazy sometimes. But you'll pull out and there'll be nobody in the lane, and you pull out, and someone that's in the left lane will switch over into the right lane, come flying up on you, slam on their brakes, and honk their horn as if it was your fault. And I said, honestly, brothers and sisters, on Wednesday, I said, honestly, my blood pressure rises. Right? That's just truth. This past week, I went to get my hair cut. I go to a barber shop. I won't mention where it is, but it's in the Broken Arrow area, but I don't need to mention it specifically because of what I'm about to share. I was there, and I'm getting my hair cut, and one of the individuals waiting and one of the other people in the room began to have a discussion. And it was political in nature. And I sat back and I watched. And I have seen these people before. If you go to a barbershop, any of you that go to a barbershop, you might realize this, but if you go to the same barbershop over and over again, you see the same people. In fact, I think some of the men, I don't think they work. They are retired or something, and I think they just every day get up and they go, they don't need their haircut, they just go to the barber shop. You know, I think that's what's happening, because I'll go and I'll see the same like few individuals almost every time. But I'm sitting there and I've seen these two individuals have great conversations over the years. I've been going for like a couple of years to this particular place, and I've seen them have great conversations. They're friends. But I promise you, if you had walked in for the first time that day and you had seen the way they were talking to one another, you would have thought they were mortal enemies. There was nothing about what one of them was saying that was right or valuable. And on the other side, the same thing. And they were going back and forth heatedly. And I'm sitting back, and I have to tell you, I'm sitting back, and in my mind, James is screaming out, "Say something about the tongue. It is full of deadly poison," right? It gets us in trouble. In the reading of our scripture reading this morning, it leads up to what we're going to go through together here in a moment, but Matthew chapter 15, 1 through 9. You ever found it interesting that Jesus and his disciples are getting blasted for failing to wash their hands before they eat? An important tradition among the Jewish people, signifying purity, signifying that that which we receive from the Lord, the daily bread that we receive from the Lord, is a blessing, and that in a sense, we don't just grab a hold of God's blessings with dirty, filthy hands that have done all kinds of things and work and whatever, and we just grab it as if it's an unclean and unimportant thing, and we just kind of shove it down us. That you kind of take a moment to say, and pour the water, and do the washings, and say, we respect what the Lord has given. We ask God's blessing upon what he has given, and we take from the Lord those things which he has provided. Can you see how that could be a beautiful tradition? Why in the world, we talk about picking your battles wisely, right? Do we teach our children that? We say, you know, there's a time to stand up, and there's a time to just kind of just go with the flow. Or this isn't going to make a big difference either way, so this is probably not where you want to spend your energy fighting. You know that, right? A couple of friends of mine, we talk about it in ministry. We ask ourselves and challenge ourselves when we're dealing with things, and we're talking behind the scenes, and we're saying, you know, is this something worth really kind of trying to go the next step and promote, especially if maybe it's not something that everyone's seeing the importance of. We say it this way: is this a ditch worth dying in? I mean, is this where I'm going to either make or break my ministry? I'm going to go down in a blaze of glory. And a lot of times you'll step back and you'll think, no, not really. This is an opinion, this is a thought, this was just an idea, not worth dying over, right? Not going to be any more or less biblical or scriptural if we do or don't do this thing. Let's not fight this one. And we kind of will step back sometimes. Why does Jesus pick this battle? And I think you need to begin to see why, or think through that as you then move into what follows in Matthew 15. That sometimes, at the fundamental bottom of it all, even though in and of itself, washing of hands actually sounds like a pretty good thing before I eat, it just sounds like a sanitary thing, you know? I mean, we've got people in here that they won't eat. They'll go wash their hands, and then they'll come and they'll use what do we call it? The sanitizer, hand sanitizer, right, Gordon? Everywhere Gordon goes, he's got hand sanitizer. That sounds like a good idea to me. We were eating lunch recently, and Gordon said, "Do you want some of this?" I'm, "Absolutely, I want some of that. I don't want germs." But I think underlying this, Jesus understands what the Pharisees are about. And he's actually going to get to a point, Jesus is, very shortly in the story in Matthew 15, where a Canaanite woman, you know, the land of Canaan, you know, the land in which the children of Israel went in and they were to like remove all that was Canaanite from it, sweep that out, clean it out, wash their hands of all of that so that the only thing left in the promised land would be that which is pure and holy. Jesus in Matthew chapter 15 is actually going to go so far, forget about not washing hands, he's going to go so far as to bless and take care of the needs of a Canaanite woman who even refers to herself as a dog who just wants the scraps that have fallen from the table. And yes, some scholars, as Jesus looks and says some words to her, they have questioned, how could he say that of her? You don't throw to the dogs that which was intended for the children. Sounds kind of harsh. So in the beginning of chapter 15, you have this hand-washing issue and this tradition of men issue and the fact that not only that, but this represented a way in which they kind of made their laws, their traditions, more important or placed them above that which God intended. Even to the point that Jesus says they would teach that as long as that which I have devoted to God is set aside for Him, then I don't really have to honor or take care of father and mother, and thus make void the Word of God, a direct command from God to honor father and mother. That Jesus is arguing from even a small point of washing hands that there is a bigger issue underlying, and the bigger issue is this. It's the peanut butter and jelly of chapter 15. It's what's sandwiched between hand-washing tradition issues and Canaanite woman being blessed. And it just happens to be our text for today. That as we speak and the actions that we do, but particularly as he's going to argue today, Jesus says the things we speak from our mouths, unfiltered things that come from our mouths. Not the things that when we're with people and we know we better watch our words, but when we're kind of let down a little bit, the unfiltered things that come out of our mouths, that speaks deeply at the root of who we are, what motivates, what is at the heart or core of who we are as a person. And Jesus is going to tell them, you don't worry about so much the washing of hands and if you get a little dirt and that gets on the bread and then it gets in the mouth and it goes in. The problem isn't that which is outside and that goes in. It is what's already inside and it takes itself and comes out every once in a while. Or maybe not even just every once in a while. Maybe far too often, right? He called the multitude to himself and he said, "Hear and understand." Jesus didn't want his people simply to hear, to stop for a moment and say from their busyness of life, "Okay, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. I've got so much pressing on me. I've got people asking this of me. I'm about to go back to school. What's that going to be all about?" And all of these things staring us in the face, we say, "Okay, I'll go to church, I'll listen to the preacher preach a little, I'll kind of pay attention, and then I'll go my own way." Jesus is saying to us, don't just hear me. Understand me. Don't just hear me, but implement what I'm saying into your lives. Be my disciple. And he says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. By the way, this is the New King James Version, but man doesn't simply mean us guys, by the way. It means mankind. It means brothers and sisters. It means all of us, all who would be disciples of Jesus. And Jesus is getting to the real issue. And you can take this home. You can memorize this entire sermon. And you can share this with other people. You ready? I'm going to give it to you. Not out in. Okay? Not out in, but in out. Not out in, but in out. That's what you have to watch. That's what you have to be careful of. Searching who I am and realizing what might come out. Hopefully that which comes out, you're not afraid for others to see. If there are things within that need to be done away with, don't speak them. Don't defend them. Don't say, yeah, but. Yeah, I understand that racism is wrong. I understand that white supremacy is wrong. I understand that all of these types of things are wrong, but you know there are people on the other side who speak evil and from their vantage point too. I don't care. It's ungodly. I don't want an excuse to be ungodly. We must stop. Stop trying to justify that which is wrong. Be like Jesus. Be a lover of a Canaanite woman. Bless those that really aren't even deserving of being blessed. Love deeply. Challenge people. Stand fast for the truth. Tell people what matters most. Express to them this idea of not what is out going in, but in going out. Jesus' disciples came to him and said, you know, the Pharisees were offended. That's because people get offended when the truth is preached. They always have. And I'll have to tell you this morning now, I love you. And you all know that. You may think, well, Grant, you've been getting bold lately. I know, because there's things going on in our world and it's not right. I've been getting more bold lately. Because I know every one of you in this room knows how much I love you. Okay, we have a couple of visitors. You may not, but I'm telling you, this congregation knows how much I love them. The Pharisees, they might just have to get offended. Might just have to happen. But I hope the truth of God's word doesn't offend you. Right? I guess if it does, take it up with the Lord, but it ain't me. If you think I'm misapplying some of it, okay. But there again, be careful. Be careful. Lord Jesus says to his people, you know, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. In a sense, he's saying, don't overly concern yourself too much with the Pharisees getting offended. If it's not of me, the time will come when God in his judgment will come and he will uproot it. He will tear it out and he will throw it aside. And you say, well, it doesn't seem like that. It seems like all the bad things are what seems to be in power. Well, that's not true, first of all. That's what we focus on. There's a lot of good in this world, and there's a lot of good neighbors in this world, and there's a lot of you that are doing good in this world. Quit speaking as if that isn't happening. Start speaking about the light more. We talk about darkness too much. Why are we infatuated with darkness? Why do we always want to talk about darkness? I get caught up in it preaching sometimes, always talking about, you know, the struggles and all of that, right? There's a lot of good going on in this world. Hold me accountable for that preaching. I mean it. Hold me accountable for it. Tell me we need to hear more about what's good and what's happening in this world. The church is throughout this world shining as a light, and there are people's lives being affected for the good all over. But that which the Heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Leave them alone. Talk to them, express it to them. If they don't like it, leave them alone. They are blind guides. They are blind leaders, and they're leading blind individuals. Now, if the blind leads the blind, Jesus says both will fall into a ditch. Why? Because that's what happened when blind people lead blind people. Nobody can see. They're going to end up in a ditch. Or they're going to wind up, in our context, they're going to end up walking into ongoing traffic on Memorial Drive out here. It's certain destruction. When you can't see, and you're walking into that which is dangerous. And this is what you look like. And so Jesus says, in a sense, don't overly concern yourself about them, even if it seems like they are empowered. You do what is right. You listen. You hear. And you follow through with what God has to say. You be what He wants us to be as disciples. And then Peter. I love Peter. Peter does what I often would have been probably afraid to do, this question Jesus. I would have been the one in the back saying, "Hey, Peter, go ask Jesus what he meant by all this," right? Is anybody like me? You've been behind the scenes kind of prodding Peter along? Because you've learned that Peter, you know, he'll jump up there and he'll say anything. And Peter runs up and says to him, "Explain this parable to us." And Jesus says, "Are you still without understanding? You've been with me all this time and you still don't get it. Are you blind? Are you not hearing? Are you not understanding?" And so he repeats. Whatever enters into the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated. Now, I know that sounds kind of cruel, but it's Jesus just simply saying, come on. You do understand the way the body works, the way God created it. Whatever enters in the mouth, from a baby all the way to their last days, whatever enters in the mouth goes in the stomach and is eliminated. You do it all the time, your whole life. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, those come from the heart. And that's really what defiles a man. Rituals. Practices of the church or of faith. Can they be a good thing? Sure. You say practices. We don't do a whole lot of rituals and things. I know, but yet we do. I mean, stay with me for a moment. When the gentleman come up here and stood earlier, and one after another would walk up to the microphone to speak a prayer, I didn't look around, but I'm just going to guess that a large majority of you in this room bowed your head. I don't know if you close your eyes or if you just bow your head. Some people bow their head and close their eyes. Others just bow their head, right? I don't know what your practice is, but you probably have a practice, right? Anything wrong with those things? No, of course not. Anything wrong with so much depending upon the rituals of the ceremonial things of religious outward practice that we do that perfectly but treat people horribly, and we think, but I do this perfectly so I'm fine with God and this over here doesn't matter. Well, Jesus is saying, then if you're going to do something, don't do this perfectly and walk over here and do this better. Talking about the traditions of men, by the way. not direct commands of what God has asked us to do in worship. And so whether you kneel or whether you stand to pray or whether you bow your head or whether you close your eye, the main thing is your heart right with God? That's a central thing. And whatever is internally within you, at the heart, at the core, that which is good comes out and it expresses things that build people up, makes other people around you better. That which is fear-based, that which is within you that you have your own self-doubts, your own self-worries, that comes out and it hurts people around you. And I mean, I've done this. I've done this week. My own struggles come out of the mouth and hurt others. Do I purposely do those things? No. Do I sit back later and think, why did I do that again? Not only did I do that, but why did I do that again? Yes. I'm logical enough of a human being, and I desire to do the Lord's will enough that after I've thought it through and stepped back, I can think and express and understand what's really going on. And here's what's going on. The struggles of this world, when we're engaging in problems with one another, you know the enemy is not the person across from you, right? You know it's really not the person across from you. You know that as I sit there in that chair and my hair was being cut and I'm hoping that like my barber doesn't get distracted and cut an ear off or something, but as that's going on in there and it's really getting loud and I'm kind of like, what do I say? Everyone here knows I'm a preacher. Am I supposed to say something? And I mean, all that's going on. Do you realize that those two individuals were not really at war with one another? There's somebody behind that that we're at war with. And the Apostle Paul knew who was the real enemy. You remember Ephesians chapter 6? We probably like Ephesians chapter 6. You may be familiar with it. Talking about putting on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Our real struggle is with one that has nothing to do with flesh and blood, but he causes the commotion and the problem down here so that we get distracted. So I start looking out and I start pointing my fingers and I start thinking, you hurt me, you said something, you didn't tell me what I needed to hear to build me up, so you must be taking advantage of me. All those doubts creeping in. He's the master of it. And sometimes we become his vessels for promoting his things. Our job as believers in Jesus Christ, as His disciples, is to do our very best to withstand those vicious and evil thoughts and be a people of peace and of love, of compassion, of mercy, of truth versus lies. See, out of the heart will proceed evil. Otherwise, if we don't guard against it, thoughts of murders, adulterous thoughts, fornication, theft, lies of false witness type, blasphemies. Those are the things which defile a man, Jesus says. To eat with unwashed hands, you might say, oh, gross, but that's not what defiles you. That's not what's going to either get you to the reward that God has in mind or not. But how we treat one another, that God desperately wants us to take serious. Speak only when you are sure that your words are better than silence. Before we open our mouths, be careful. Taste your own words. And then express those things. Even when it's disagreements. But express those things after you have really thought them through. And express them with the love and compassion that you have for other people who you know are also made in the image of God. When I was very young in my life, I heard my dad say, and this was not original to him, but I picked it up from him. It's better to be silent and thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt, right? Sometimes our mouths get the best of us. As a preacher, I find that to be ironic, right? Because every week I get up and I have to say more than anybody else does before the congregation. And I know you have to understand that as a human being, at times I'm going to say it a little bit different than I meant for it to come out. I hope you'll give me a little latitude, a little love, a little grace and mercy. But I tell you, we need to be challenged. We need to be challenged to love more deeply and to be committed as disciples of Jesus Christ. Are you a disciple of His? Are you following Him? Are there things in your life that you wish you didn't have deep within you in the heart? Pray to God. Pray to God earnestly. Ask that He forgive you for those things. And if you've never responded to the gospel invitation, come to Him. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Rise up to walk in that newness of life. You continue on with the struggle. You continue on needing to mature. And that's what we're about every week. We have that ongoing need. But you'll be in the right spot. You'll be walking on the right path. Headed in the right direction. And your future will be better because of it. And especially your eternal future. He died for you. He loves you. What's your feelings for Him? If you need to respond, won't you now? While we stand and sing.